While Carolus Magnus was having the Grossmünster built, he often came to Zurich, staying at a house called the Loch that was immediately next to the church. At the spot where the beloved saints had been beheaded, he had a column erected with a bell hanging from the top. A pronouncement was made that in order to be fair to both rich and poor, and so that no one would be denied access to him, anyone who desired justice on a certain matter should ring the bell at the times when the emperor was eating. That was how he wished to receive people. This procedure was in force for some time when one day, as the emperor was sitting down to eat, he heard the bell ringing and sent his servants to see who was seeking justice, but they found no one there. As soon as they returned inside, they heard the bell ringing once again. This then happened a third time. The emperor demanded to know who was ringing the bell. When the servants looked once more, they discovered a huge snake coiled around the bell rope, ringing the bell. They reported this to the emperor, who stood up from his meal and announced that this brute creature was as entitled to justice as any human being. As the emperor arrived at the place, the snake bowed before him before slithering towards some water where she had laid her eggs. Sitting on the eggs, however, was an enormous toad. The emperor and his servants understood that the snake sought justice against the poisonous toad, and the emperor conceded that the snake was right and condemned the toad to be burnt to death. Several days after the sentence had been carried out, the emperor was sitting once again at his table when the snake arrived at the court. The latter's arrival was announced to the emperor, who pronounced that the snake was to be welcomed. The snake crawled to the emperor and bowed before him as before. He then crawled onto the table, lifted the lid of the emperor's drinking vessel, and dropped a precious stone into it. Then he turned around, bowed before the emperor, and slithered away. This extraordinary miracle, and the fact that this was also the place where the blessed saints were martyred for their Christian beliefs, moved the emperor to build a place of worship at this site, in praise to the eternal memory of God. It was to be called the Wasserkirche, Water Church, because it was surrounded on most sides by water. In the crypt of this church, under the altar, is the well beside which the beloved saints had lived and had been captured, which is why it is called the Holy Well. The emperor took the precious stone, which he considered to be a delightful treasure. He gave it to his beloved wife. The stone possessed a wonderful power. From the day it belonged to the empress, Carolus did not want to leave her side. He had to have her near him all the time, otherwise he found neither peace nor pleasure. Then the empress became ill. She'd become aware of the stone's power and feared that if it came into the possession of another woman, the emperor would forget her, the empress, and grow fond of the other woman. Therefore, when she was close to death, she placed the stone under her tongue. Then she passed away. Shortly afterwards, she was embalmed according to the imperial tradition in preparation for burial. However, the emperor could not live without her, and his love for her was such that he had her body disinterred and carried it around with him for 18 years wherever his travels took him. There was a knight at the court who believed that the stone must have special powers that could explain all this. He searched the body of the empress and found the stone under her tongue. Immediately afterwards, the emperor had the body buried, and his feelings switched from his dead wife to the knight, who now had the stone about his person, and whatever this knight desired, the emperor would grant him. This continued for some time, and people started to speak badly about them. Therefore, the knight, when he was riding to Cologne with the emperor one day, threw the stone into a swamp near a hot spring so that it wouldn't belong to anyone. Within an hour, the emperor had left the knight and developed such a love for the place where the stone had landed that he founded the city of Aachen on the spot. He also founded at the same place a wonderful cathedral that was consecrated in the year 810 AD. He decided, furthermore, that the minsters of Zurich and Aachen should be eternally bound together.